The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
What to do with life? Psalms 30, 11, and 12. And it's just amazing that you sang that song this morning. I was just so excited when I knew the scripture I'd be using. You turned my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The hour comes when we cast off those heavy burdens of life and that we embrace the joys of life and celebrate Him. Too much of our life is spent in the doldrums instead of being in the place of rejoicing. And this is a time of rejoicing. After the scriptures teach over and over again that trials come and then there's times of rejoicing. Fasting comes, and there's times of rejoicing and celebration. The scriptures teach us over and over that when the trial is over, it's time to celebrate. And it can be anything that you're going through in life, whether it's a place on your job and your finances and your health, whenever it is, and to celebrate what God has done within our lives. When the feast that we talk about in the scriptures, the feasts all were incorporated after a time of trial. The Passover, which was when God's people were delivered out of Egypt and set free, and they got through the Red Sea, the death angel passed over them so that none of them died who had the blood on their door. God instituted the Passover, a time of celebration. Whenever they had fast, at the end of a fast, they had times of celebration, feasting and celebration. When building, construction was done, they had times of celebrating. What did they celebrate? The celebration is this, that God has taken us through it. It's when fasting is a way of denying ourselves, of stressing our bodies, focusing on God, saying, Lord, we believe in you, we trust in you. It is absolute foolishness in the natural to fast. There's no reason, I mean, it's just craziness. And I used to kind of think that way before we started doing this 21-day fast. But I've discovered that doing the fast, doing the trials, doing the time of focusing on the Word, that when it's over, you know, you're looking forward to it. And it kind of reminds me of looking forward to the great resurrection, looking forward to the coming of the Lord when the days of trial are over. Jesus was rebuked when he was here. He said, why don't your apostles fast? John's apostles, John the baptizer, his disciples fasted. Why don't yours fast? He said, when the bridegroom is with you, you don't need to fast. But when the bridegroom is gone, then is a time of fasting. We are looking forward to the great day when the bridegroom comes to redeem us, the bride, and get us out of this time. So fasting and breaking the fast and celebrating is a picture of looking forward to Christ, realizing that by faith we have Him with us, by faith we see afar, but the fulfillment of that will be when the eastern skies break forth and the Lord Himself descends with a shout. Those of us who are dead will rise up out of the graves. Those of us who are alive will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and thus will we be with the Lord. Now, honey, you talk about celebrating. That's a day to celebrate. We celebrate the looking forward to it, but we're not there yet. But we celebrate by faith, knowing that the day will come. So ending the fast is looking forward to the Lord's coming and return. So we're going to celebrate that. The fast is over. We don't need to worry about it anymore. Eat your cookies, eat your chocolate, eat your steak, eat whatever it is that you want, knowing that it's done. You don't have to eat any more grits, Nick. You know, that is over, and we are celebrating. God designed us to survive the hard times and celebrate the good times. Do you know that God put healing in your very body? Your body will heal itself in many ways. Some things require medical help, but a lot of things, they're just healed. You cut yourself, it'll heal up. You bump your knee, it'll heal up. You get a headache, it'll go away. So your body is designed, and whenever you get over a sickness or a trial, just take a moment to rejoice and celebrate the good times. Our life must be celebration. If we don't have celebration, we will be depressed, we will be sick, and we will die prematurely. Come on. I'm telling you, if you don't learn how to enjoy life, if you don't have some laughter, the scripture says that laughter is a medicine. Joy cometh in the morning. Sorrow just lasts for the night. Joy comes into the in the morning. My dad, and for a guy with a fourth grade education, he had a lot of wisdom. I didn't think that when I was a kid. You know, it's only after I've gotten older and looked back with the wisdom that my dad had. And I remember a time that I was really hurt. My uncle had died, and I was close to him. And we were at the funeral parlor, and it was during the day, and I remember I was just so depressed about it. And I walked outside, and my dad walked out with me, and I was crying. And he said, "Son, I want you to know this, life goes on." And I remember that. I couldn't have been 10, 11 years old, but I remember those words. And I've lived that way. Go through the hard times, go through the trials, but life goes on. God wants us to go on. You know, there's a time of mourning that should end, and a time of rejoicing should show up. And say, "Well, there's some things I just can't forget about." Well, we're not asking you to forget. We're asking you to trust in the Lord and celebrate the goodness of the Lord, that you still have and you still have life within you. In Him we live and we move and we breathe and we have our being. And as long as we're on the earth, I had an aunt, and I've told you about her before. She lost her husband. And I'll tell you, they were Cinderella and Prince Charming. She looked exactly like Doris Day. You remember that, Doris Day? The beautiful redheaded woman. She was a redhead, had freckles on her. She was a delight. She laughed all the time. You couldn't see her when she was smiling, when she wasn't smiling and laughing. She's the one who's responsible for me loving chocolate. She worked at Holmes Department Store in New Orleans. She worked in the candy department. They didn't have any children. And every week, she'd bring me a bag of chocolate. I mean, not the little teeny, tiny pieces. I mean chunks of chocolate. And her name was Louise. And my Uncle Charlie, he was a guy who could do anything. He was tall and slender and good-looking. And, I mean, he could have been in a movie star. And, I mean, that's how handsome he was. Well, he had a terrible stroke at a young man. And I say young, he's probably mid to late 40s, and it was really debilitating. I mean, he couldn't talk anymore, and it was really, really bad, and my aunt was nursing him, and after about a year that way, he finally died. She could never get over his death. She couldn't get over it. She was in continual mourning till the day she died. And I saw her one time after my uncle died. I'd go to her house and knock on the door and try to get her to let me see her. I was a teenager at that time. Might have been in my early 20s. I'd just go visit her. She'd never open the door, and I knew she was home. And she never talked to anybody. She didn't talk to my parents anymore. And they were good friends, as my mother's brother. And they were good friends. But she couldn't get to the place where the mourning was over, and she died prematurely, and she died hurt I'm not to say that you should dismiss it when someone dies, but to realize that life goes on and that we can dance again. We can celebrate again. We can have hope again. Those of you who've lost loved ones, moms and dads, husbands, wives, there's a time to mourn, but there's a time to rejoice. So, and I don't know where you may be on that spectrum, but don't let that loss define you. Let Christ in you define you. It's okay to laugh again. It's okay to think of life again, because God wants us to do that. When it's over, we move on. We don't forget, but we move on. The book of Philippians says this. Philippians is one of my favorite books. I say that about all of them. I realize I do that. But I love it because Paul, who probably went through more hell on earth than any of us in this room, all right? You know, through all the difficulties he went through, he wrote in Philippians, while he's in jail. Now, this wasn't a nice little jail, George, where your daughter works, but it's kind of nice and clean, and they got all the things. I mean, this is a hellhole. That's where they put these people. It was terrible. If family didn't come and give you food and the medicine and things you need, you just didn't get it. I mean, they were really mistreated. And in the Philippian jail, Paul writes these words. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And then it's almost as an afterthought. He said, and again, I say rejoice. And you say, well, Paul, how can you rejoice in jail? Because they could put his body in jail, but they couldn't put his spirit in jail. They could take away his liberty from him as a man, but they couldn't rob him of the liberty that he has in Christ and the freedom we have in Christ. This world may rob you of things, and it might try to hurt you. It might knock you down like Fran, but it can't hold us down. Rejoice not over me, my enemies, for though I stumble and fall, I shall arise. That's what the Word of God says. Rejoice not over me, O my enemies. In the situations of life, sickness, disease, death, these are all our enemies that did not exist before sin came into the world. In the book of Romans, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. So we get over that. So this is the ending of the fast is a picture of our rejoicing. Now, I want to talk to you. That was just the introduction, but I'm going to get on through this thing. What to do with life? You celebrate when your prayers are answered. Luke 15, 22 through 24. This is the story of the prodigal son who came home. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. When the time of trial is over, celebrate. That's what this man did. Fasting, praying, and giving should be a regular portion of our Christian life that ends with a time of great celebration. The prodigal son was always coming home. But the father didn't know it till he saw him coming on that old dusty road. He didn't know it, but by faith he continued to pray. Boy, what a great... I preached a sermon series on this many years ago. I ought to preach it again. He was always looking. And we always ought to be looking. Remember that song that was sung in the movie The Wizard of Oz, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, you know? Somewhere. The time is coming when the things that you're praying about, the pain that you're experiencing, will go away. And it's a time to rejoice. Father knows it all. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who knows, and he knew the prodigal son was coming home. The father just kept looking for it. And I don't know how long it was, but it was a pretty long period of time, long enough for this boy to waste all the wealth that his dad had given him and his inheritance. And he came home beaten and bruised. Rembrandt painted a beautiful picture of it, of which we have a replication in the lobby. If that was the real Rembrandt, we would have a cathedral, because that's how much that thing would be worth. So we've got a beautiful copy that a friend of mine gave to us a long time ago. But you see how beaten and bruised and dirty he is. But Father was looking for him, and Father laid his hands on him. He said, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Why did he celebrate? Because his prayers were answered. Now let me tell you a little bit about prayer. You can have a bless me prayer. We teach children to do that. No, bless me. Ask God to bless me. If you ask for a bless me prayer, you'll get a blessing. But if you get a faithful petition before God, you can expect a harvest. Faithful petition, lamenting before the Lord, praying for the Lord, being serious about your prayers. You know, sometimes our prayers are, thank you for this meal, I ask you to bless it. You know, thank you for the food. And I'm as guilty of that as you are. But there ought to be some times in your life when you get down on your knees and you get on your face before God and petition God about what it is that you need in your life. Many of the things that I've had victory in is times when I was fasting and praying diligently about what my situation was. Said, well, if God knows the beginning from the end, Tommy, why should we pray? Well, I don't know. Except that the Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says to pray, to come to God, bring our sorrows to Him, bring our problems to Him. And when we do, you know what we're doing? We're really showing our faith, Rose. We're saying, I believe you, God, that you're bigger than this problem. You can cause things to be different. I can't do it. And the flesh, you'll find that everybody here is old enough to know you're born against things that you can't solve. When you're young and you're strong, you can solve a lot of stuff. You get old, you find out you can't solve everything. There's some things you're not going to get an answer for on this earth. But what we do is we petition God. We cry out to the Lord in faith. See, the fact that you cry out to God is a demonstration of your faith in God, that you believe God can do it. Ask God for the impossible. You remember I told you this story? I've told it several times, but it's one of my favorite pictures about the rooster in the chicken yard. You remember that story? No, you don't remember. You ought to remember. The old rooster was in the chicken yard, and every night when it came time to roost, that old rooster would get on one side of the yard, and he would start kicking up dust. Kicking his feet, making all kinds of noise, flapping his wings. And he'd run full steam and where the tree was, he was going to roost. And he would jump, and it was just right. There was a real low, low limb. And he'd just get on that limb. Finally, the young roosters up here, I got tired of this. Every night, the same thing going on. So they went up to him and said, Rooster, why don't you just jump up on that limb and stop all that foolishness? It's not that high. You can do it. And he said, oh, let me tell you, my friends, I wasn't aiming for that one. I was aiming for the top one. That's just as high as I could get. So let's ask God for some big things and see how high we get. You never know what'll happen. Times of celebrating and prayer. Faithful prayers raise the dead. For this my son was dead and is alive again. You know, those of your loved ones, some of your kids maybe, some of your spouses, they are dead in their trespasses and sin. They haven't received Christ. You know, pray for them. They can come back. They can come. They can, if they've just yet got religion when they were young and didn't get Jesus, they can get back into it. If they did find the Lord, they can get back. They can be like the prodigal son. He was always the father's son. He just came back where he belonged. You know, see what it says on behind me? Come home, all is forgiven. God will not keep anyone from coming home that wants to come home. And you can pray prayers for those who are away from God, who don't know God, those who need to be saved. You can pray for them that they will come to the Lord. You say, well, maybe they won't ever come. Well, that's not faith. Where's your faith? Why don't you say they will come and start talking and believing? You know, don't get snared by the words of your mouth. You know, speak life and believe God that it's going to happen. I'm taking too much time. I'm just going to drift on through this. And, let me tell you a story, just a quick story. This guy by the name of Phil Huggins, he was in the what he called, and Time Magazine called, the toughest prison in America. It was in Texas. And It was so bad that the only prisoners they sent there were the prisoners that couldn't be controlled in another prison. So I'll give you an idea what this place was, and this is where Phil was. Phil was a drug addict. He was a murderer. Now, he never killed anyone, and the reason he told me that he didn't kill anybody, he said he wasn't a very good murderer. He had tried. He had stabbed people and done terrible things, but he was in this place, in this prison. They called it the Ham, and that's where he was. But somebody gave him a Bible. And in that place where there was no air conditioning, he said it was so hot in the summer, he'd get down on the floor and try to and breathe, trying to find some cool air, maybe down on the floor, that he could breathe some cool air. But he gave him a Bible, and he started reading it. As he read that Bible, he remembered the prayers of his mother. He remembered the things that his mother had told him. All the years he was living like hell, she kept saying, God loves you, Phil. God cares about you. And in that place, he received Christ into his life. And his testimony was, he got out of jail. He had to serve out his sentence. But when he got out of jail, he came back to Slidell. He said he was almost 40 years old. The only thing he owned was the clothes on his back and the Bible in his hand. And he found, guess what he found when he got home? A mother waiting for him that never stopped praying. Your prayers can change things, so that you can have a time of celebration. All right, quickly. You celebrate when the work is completed. Nehemiah, I just love the story of Nehemiah. Remember, he was in captivity. He was sent to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with music of cymbals, harps and lyres. Not liars, but lyres. Nehemiah was given an impossible task to do. It was impossible to do that. You know, it wasn't one of these little dinky walls like Trump's talking about building out of in Mexico. This thing is like the wall of China. It was big. It had two big stone retaining walls, and the middle of it was filled with garbage and everything else. I mean, it was solid. It had been knocked down, and he's got the job of trying to build it and put it back together. The victory belongs to those who are strong of heart and don't stop until the job is done. And that's what he did. He faced unbelievable odds. The government was against him, the local government. When he came, I believe it was from Syria, when he came from Syria to Jerusalem, the local government there didn't want him to do it. The devil himself tried to stop what he was doing. Demonic forces came against him. People, his own peers, told him he couldn't do it. Look at the scripture, Nehemiah 4. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is given out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. You ever been there? Things are so bad that you think it can never happen? That's what they said. Also, our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and kill them and put an end to the work. Your enemy, Satan, goes about like a roaring lion trying to destroy you and to stop your prayers and stop your time of celebration. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So there's the odds that Nehemiah was going against. And there's the odds that we go against so many times. So how did he get the job done? You need to know where this scripture is, because you need to know this scripture. How did he get the job done? Chapter 4, verse 14. After I looked things over, take a look at what's going on in your life. Take a look at whatever circumstances you're in. And just take stock of where you are. I looked things over. I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, all the naysayers that were telling him he couldn't do it, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. You can't be afraid, and you need to stand up and be a warrior for a change instead of a wimp. Stop laying under the circumstances and get up over them. Start interceding, fasting, praying. trusting, doing whatever you can to get done what God's called you to do. Now you say, well, I don't know what God's called me to do. Well, I know God has a calling on your life. Otherwise, you'd be dead in the grave. The fact that you're still here, you can do something. What could one man do it? Well, just go tell that to Colonel Sanders, deep in his 60s, and he created an empire called Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, fried chicken's out of vogue, you know, they call it KFC now. But it's still fried chicken, which I can't wait to eat a piece of Popeye's fried chicken. Woo! I don't like Colonel Sanders as much as I like Mr. Copeland's Popeye's chicken, all right? Just moving on. But seriously, don't let your age, don't let your situation, don't let your condition rob you of what you can do. As Yogi Bear said about the baseball game, the game ain't over till the fat lady sings, all right? And the fat lady hadn't sung yet in your life. You are still here. Don't give up. Be encouraged. One of the best ways to get in the right mood is to start to celebrate. Pat and I were in a training in a company that I was associated with, and they were training us how to be good salespeople. And the mantra was, to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. And he'd make us say that over and over and again. And we'd climb up on chairs and on tables, and we'd run around like school children and say, to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. You got to act out sometimes before the thing is done for you. And to believe it, don't run around saying, oh, well, I'm under the devil's heel. What are you doing under the devil's heel? He's supposed to be under your heel. Amen. So begin to think as someone of great joy, someone who trusts in the Lord. Change the way that you think in order that you can rejoice. Don't be afraid. Remember your God who is awesome and strong. God never wakes up in the morning and says, what are we going to do? Never has God ever woke up wondering what to do. Because of who he is, he knows what to do. And because you are his child, he says that we have the very mind of Christ. Say, well, I've never heard from God. Well, why not? Why haven't you heard from God? Maybe you need to fast and pray more. Maybe you need to get in a place where you can hear him. Maybe you need to go find a quiet place somewhere in the backyard. Some people, in fact, Martin Luther did this. He said he did his best praying in the bathroom facility. That's what Martin Luther said about himself. Now, I'm not recommending that, but I mean, just go where you got to go to get in touch with God. Find a place of solitude where you can hear from God. George, get that smirk off your face because I know you. I know George. He just don't even think about it, George, or just move right along. There's a joke in there somewhere. Just leave it where it is. Get in the fight and start swinging. You can't win a fight if you just put your hands over your head and just let the enemy beat you up. You got to have a fight sometime. Say, well, I'm too old to fight. You might be too old to fight in your physical aspect, but in the spiritual, you are a mighty warrior for God. And don't ever forget that. Fight for your posterity, for your children, for your grandchildren, and as if it all depends on you, because in many ways, it does. So, with that said and done, Jim, we're going to skip that video I was going to show, all right? Because it's almost noon, and I don't want to keep you here too long. I know you're waiting to get out and go to the restaurant. So what we're going to do, we're going to celebrate and receive an offering. And in John chapter 6, it says, when you fast, and we're fasting. It says, when you pray, and we're praying. It says, when you give, and we're fixing to give. We're fixing to have a special offering that we're going to receive. And we're going to put this over here. I think we are. I'm going to have to do it in two stages. I'm going to put this here. I got it. I'm waiting on him. He's got to go play music. He's getting ready up there. And what we're going to do, uncharacteristic of us, but we're going to do it right here. Now, this is not your regular tithes and offerings. Those go in a box in the back. This is for the basket in the front. So what, I hope you've been praying about it. And you just give as the Lord leads you. Don't worry about what I think it ought to be. It's what God tells you to give. That little tithes and offering things in the back says to not give grudgingly or out of compulsion. This is not a grudge giving or compelling you to give, but to give joyfully. Give out of a cheerful heart. So that's what you want to do. Not give grudgingly or out of necessity, but give out of a cheerful heart. All right? So we're going to give cheerfully. And the way we're going to do is, Roe wrote a special song a couple of years ago. And we're going to sing to this special song that he wrote for us. And we're going to come up here with our offerings. And we're going to dance. And we're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be a great thing for us to do. And Pat and I, you lead the way. Stand up. Come down the middle aisle. Come here, Pat. We're ready. I want to dance while we're giving. Let's go.
It's time to take the offering.
Come here.
Give unto God.
Come here, I'm dancing. Come here, boy.
Don't beat you. Tithes and offering.
Woo!
Tithes and offering.
Great
word,
great words.
Tides of
offering. Woo! A certain man named Ananias, with his wife, they sold their land. They kept that part from what they said. Don't you know they both turned up?
Oh, hey, boy!
Tithes and offerings.
Go beyond our way.
Tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings.